the importance of the prosecutor. It just seems like something's amiss with this to me. What is your reaction from the prosecutor side of this?
Yes, Daryl, I agree. I think I share the same sentiment. I was shocked when I heard the story initially, just based on the facts alone. But then hearing just that there was no follow-up, relatively no follow-up from the university or law enforcement that's involved in that situation. In normal situations or circumstances when someone is a victim of a hate crime, obviously law enforcement is involved from the initial onset of the alleged act. And then law enforcement then investigates. And then once law enforcement has investigated and they believe that there is some form of probable cause, they'll then send it to a prosecution office, much like my office here in Florida. And in this situation there in Pennsylvania, it seems that there was just a situation where the university officials, they got involved and they decided not to report it. But also they were able to convince law enforcement to not get involved. It's peculiar in the sense that even if the victim of the particular crime, this young man in this situation, didn't want to go forward or didn't want to press charges in this situation, I would feel that it would probably be an obligation on a university faculty and administration to at least press law enforcement to continue on an investigation. But even in that situation, if the university officials chose not to pursue or tried to convince law enforcement officials to no longer further investigate this, I believe, respectfully, in my position and where I am, I believe that the law enforcement officials should have at least done an investigation. And even if they found that it was unfounded, and even if they found that there was no probable cause to bring hate crimes in this situation, something should have been documented that they did a thorough investigation in this particular matter. So This is an unusual situation and set of circumstances in this given situation.
But Attorney Clark, doesn't it really go beyond that as well? I mean, doesn't the prosecutor have, and again, I'm coming from that background. That's where I cut my teeth. Doesn't the prosecutor hold a special position of trust with the community, not just at the university, but the community at large? Isn't the community at large looking at this and saying, this is going on and our prosecutor's not doing anything? What did we vote for?
Yeah, and I think also you have to look at it from a situation of, what are the roles and duties of the prosecution in this situation? Do the prosecutors locally in Pennsylvania, the local district attorneys, do they have jurisdiction to conduct their own investigations, utilizing their own investigators? But also, they could, if they don't, they could still put pressure on the local law enforcement agency to conduct a thorough investigation so they can make a determination on whether or not they can pursue with the criminal prosecution in this particular matter. They do owe a duty and an obligation in this situation. I think that if the local law enforcement agency or the university or the prosecution don't want to go forward or conduct an investigation, I think the state police department or agency for the state of Pennsylvania should probably get involved and conduct their own investigation. But not only there, it doesn't stop there. You also have a federal hate crimes law. It's the Matthew Shepard and James Byrd Hate Crimes Prevention Act.
Got it.
And so if the local officials, right, Barbara, if the local officials don't want to get involved and they are unwilling to conduct an investigation, then hopefully the federal side of this can get involved and conduct an investigation pursuant to the Shepard Byrd Act, which, this act, for those of you who don't know, this act essentially makes a hate crime a federal offense. So if it's committed willfully and it causes bodily harm, injury to an individual based on their race, color, religion, national origin, gender, or sexual orientation, then they could be subjected to federal prosecution to federal crime. So there are avenues. So if the local officials, Daryl, aren't willing to do their job, to do what the people put them in office, to put them in power to do, then there is an avenue federally.
Absolutely. And I think the other real service, besides not, protecting this young man, the other problem here is that we know universities always want to protect themselves first. They want to protect their, you know, their financial standing. They want to protect their ability to recruit people to the campuses in the future. They want to protect their, quote, reputations. So they never tell the truth. And they, and it's really critical to force them to be transparent, as Michaela and Jaden have been talking about. And Daryl, let's face it. Right now, as we're talking about this, we don't have all the facts. We don't know how in the world did somebody get the N-word carved into their chest. Who held him down? How did they numb him? How did they do this? Was he screaming? We don't know, folks. We have no clue what the underlying facts are because they have not been made public. This is just a disservice. I just can't believe it. Dr. Frederick, what does this do? What does this do? To our young people throughout the country, sitting there in colleges, thinking about going to a PWI, thinking about their future. What does this say to our young people, Dr. Frederick?
And their parents.
You know, and their parents. Well, first, I want to talk about my reaction. I mean, I was in, I went through the stages of grief and loss. I was in denial. Bargaining, like, no, maybe this, maybe that. And then after I accepted the reality, I thought about, I also have a young black male son that goes to a PWI in Pennsylvania who also plays on a court team. Yes, I can relate and think about this personally. But also, as a counselor, I mean, some of the things that, you know, the black students, faculty, staff, and parents, psychologically, what goes on with us is a trauma, a traumatic incident, and even vicarious trauma, where the incident didn't happen to you, but you feel it and it's traumatizing just hearing it, describing it, knowing the neglect that has happened. There's also embarrassment, shock, disbelief, and a DNA recollection of events that has happened to us as black people during slavery. Denial again. And then there's also a reminder of how some people feel about us, that this still exists in today's society. So those are some of the things that we have to pay attention to as we look at the psychological mind of individuals.
Wow. And, you know, Jaden, you know, we're talking about, you know, the impact that it had on the community and the students. You know, I'm trying to wrap my hand around it, you know, because I, like you, was a African-American student at a PWI, and I'm trying to imagine something like this happening on my campus and the university not telling us what happened, but we just know that there was an incident. You know, we know that the Black Student Union at Gettysburg College is calling on the school to release more information for transparency. How do you think the students at Gettysburg, the Black students right now at Gettysburg, are feeling?
I mean, it just has to be so much distrust with their peers, with the institution. I mean, when you talk about an incident like this occurring, and the students probably, as I looked up some of the facts of Gettysburg student body, and roughly they're about 70% majority white, and the African-American population on most sites I've seen was less than 10%. So you've got to think these students are already in the minority, 5%. Even less than 5%. Yeah. So you talk about these students are already, if you will, have a sense, they desire a sense of belonging, a sense of trust that they can live peacefully among their peers and feel like they will thrive at this institution. And then your parents send you to this institution for this exact purpose, for their sons and daughters to be successful at college. And then for an incident to occur like this, and it completely throws off the entire dynamic, let alone the lack of transparency only further promotes fear within the student body. You talk about, again, it's one thing to be the only student of color in a classroom full of individuals who don't like you. Well, you maybe can handle that, you know, you can deal with it. But when an incident like this occurs and it says that the assailant was a friend of the victim, if you will, air quotes, a friend, you start to think, what could this happen to me? Could I be in a room and be the only person of color and suddenly everyone decides to do something malicious to me? And how do parents feel to think that especially with the lack of transparency, I don't know what happened to my sons and daughters. And even if something does happen, what if the institution doesn't want to give me the full facts? I'm just left to be concerned, to be confused, to worry about, could this happen again? And so I can only imagine the students are fearful of themselves. They're concerned with trust in each other within the institution. And it's probably just not helping their student morale at all whatsoever.
And and Michaela, also, I mean, you're a student leader there right now in Philadelphia and Pennsylvania. When you heard about the story, you know, you realize, you know, that the vulnerability, because even though this one person withdrew, who helped him? I mean, how do you carve the N word? That's six letters, folks. How do you carve that into somebody's chest? Come on now. There's a story here. There may still be perpetrators walking on that campus.
Yep.
Right at this moment. And it's the lack of transparency. What has this discussion, has this incident, Michaela, come up in your school? Has there been any cross, you know, school, action, talk, activations? Tell us what's going on. Michaela?
The fact that both students, including the victim, were suspended is concerning. This decision sends a message to all institutions across the state and even the country that they often fail to understand the difference between an aggressor and the person targeted by racism. And I can feel that I actually experienced, right, that even on incidents of racism on an even lower scale, we are still categorized as victims as the aggressor. So in suspending the victim, Gettysburg College demonstrates a lack of awareness around the trauma experienced by Black students in racially hostile environments. It also perpetrates a dangerous false equivalence where both parties are punished as though they hold equal responsibility. And this reflects a system of systemic issue in higher education overall. Institutions often prioritize neutrality and self-preservation over justice, and we're seeing that across the state. Of course, we're striving to ensure that these systems recognize and address racial injustice properly without re-traumatizing victims such as the Black student in Gettysburg, but also students like me here on my campus, because this has traumatized me even further. Like you said, there's people who weren't held accountable. And now I'm trying to figure out, okay, I'm in class, I'm in this space. Who is not for me? Who could potentially do something like this to someone around me, in my space, someone that I care about? So the lack of transparency is critical in this situation. And transparency is critical in handling all incidents of racism.
And, you know, Dr. Fredericks, one of the, and very well said, Michaela. And, you know, Dr. Fredericks, one of the things that gets me is this, is as we go through the stories and I'm going through all these articles, I'm wondering about this kid's parents, right? What are his parents doing? Yes, the university says it's not going to prosecute. It stops the police from doing an investigation. I'm like, what are the – I mean, I know, you know, if this is me and it's someone in my family, yeah, I'm down at that school and we're protesting, something's going to happen. But the parents say that this is going to be a learning opportunity. Dr. Fredericks, how is it a learning opportunity if we're not having a prosecution, if we're not having a full investigation? What message is being sent to the students? What message is being sent to the community? I don't get it. And what message is being sent not only to the assailant, but also to the victim, Dr. Fredericks?
Yeah, well, I don't understand, what is the learning opportunity? What is it that we have to learn? What was done wrong that we need to learn better? So that sends a message that it was our fault. And the is it our fault that they're Black, we're Black? Like, it makes me wonder, like, why would, you know, the parents not do anything? I think that it continues to solidify a white privilege. where if it is their problem and it's not our problem, our as in white people, then, you know, that's their problem. It doesn't matter. But really, if it has an impact on one person, it's everyone's problem. So I wonder if the families, you know, realize that. It makes me think of when families send their children to college, they already are a little scared, you know, hoping everything goes well. They're hoping that